My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. What is perfection? I'm always amazed by this state that our culture seems to worship and frequently demands. Philosophers have written, dialogued, and studied this concept now for centuries, and are still not able, I feel, to really provide a suitable explanation for this mysterious state. What is your idea of perfection? Are you one of those that your friends would label a perfectionist? This concept can be inhibiting for some, while being inspirational for others. In this morning's Old Testament lesson, we get a glimpse into the calling of the prophet Ezekiel. Our Hebrew ancestors often expressed their experiences of God in the form of dialogues. These dialogues would occur between God and a prophet, and they would serve as platforms for describing what our ancestors knew to be true of our relationship with God. So a prophet, essentially, was a truth teller, the ultimate realist, if you will, an individual who continually would point towards reality, towards the facts that God had woven into life, and towards the consequences of ignoring those facts. Now, as you might imagine, prophets were usually not at the top of everyone's list. The truth at times can be irritable. A prophet's work, though, was to speak on behalf of God. And this work could be very intense, in most cases being with angry and rebellious people. In Ezekiel's case, God was calling him to speak to the people of Israel during the Babylonian exile, a time following the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this was a highly emotional moment in the Israelites' history. And they had been left in a dire state, struggling with feelings of abandonment, despair, and contempt, wondering if God had been defeated by the Babylonian gods, or if God had just lost interest in caring for them. It is into this seemingly hostile atmosphere that God instructs Ezekiel to go, charging him to speak the truth of God's word regardless if the people listen to him or not. My brothers and sisters, what is critical to realize here is that the response to Ezekiel's words is not the primary concern. His efforts will not be measured by the outcome of his preaching, or by how many folks believe him, or whether the temple is raised or lost. No, unlike our society, there are no standards of success, no tracking, no comparing. Ezekiel is simply asked to respond by speaking the word of the Lord, regardless of the results. This, therefore, leaves the measure of Ezekiel's success not in the outcome of his endeavors, but in the faithfulness of his endeavors. While times and settings have changed, there are still a lot of similarities between the state of individuals in the world then and the state of individuals in the world now. Many folks still voice their displeasure towards God for all sorts of reasons. Undesirable circumstances, unmet prayers, conflicting assumptions, the list goes on and on. And I ask you this morning, what are the various things in your own life that bring about contempt towards God? Yeah, what are the things in your own life? Things that you conceal as you live in the tension caused from the clash of God's will and your will. The great clash between our preconceived assumptions and God's truth. We all live with these tensions, these thorns in our side, if you will. It's part of being human. We know them and God knows them. What is critical is how we choose to respond and react to these tensions. Now, our gospel lesson this morning reminds us of the urgency to respond. This urgency is punctuated following a disagreement over truth by Jesus ordering his disciples to take only a staff on their journey. No bread, no bag, no money in their belt. We are left wondering, challenged with the question, what does it mean to be a disciple filled with imperfections? What does it mean to go from town to town taking no bread, no bag, no money? The instructions are clear. To risk. To be a disciple means that we must have a willingness to risk. To risk without bread, to risk without a bag, to risk without money, to risk being imperfect. Now let's take a moment to look at this reading from our gospel in its larger context, recalling the experiences of the disciples over the past few weeks. We have been given glimpses into their complicated, fear-filled, uncertain, imperfect world. Hearing of stories from a frantic, battered boat journey to the perplexing rising to life of a dead girl that left the disciples overcome with amazement. Both of these events hone in on the disciples' primitive faith with its many thorn thickets. And yet, given these accounts, in the midst of all their uncertainties and imperfections, Jesus sends them out to minister to the surrounding villages. The same individuals who up to this point have embodied a less than perfect faith. You see, the life of a disciple, the life of God's prophets, does not have to be perfect. While perfection might appeal to our individualism, to our ego, Jesus is not calling for us to be perfect. We don't have to hold all the answers, know all the scriptures, or be able to impact everyone that we come into contact with in order to be ambassadors of God's truth. No, we don't have to be perfect disciples. or perfect individuals for that matter. Human perfection all too often gives the impression that by effort or more knowing, you or I can achieve wholeness that's separate from God, from anyone else, or from connection to the whole. Divine perfection, however, is in fact the ability to recognize our imperfection, to find peace and connection to the whole. Now, all Jesus is asking us is that we have a heart, lined with honesty and humility. Repentance. To have a heart lined with honesty and humility, and to be open to the living truth of God that perfects all of our imperfections. The living truth who instructs us that it doesn't matter what you take, that we don't need to take bread, bags, money. We don't need to take anything on our journeys. We must relinquish our egos and ideologies and all that we carry and attempt to be open, to be in discernment, listening, and dialoguing with the truth that we find in Christ. Our mission is urgent. It cannot be delayed. Our world is hungry in search of truth. A world whose truths often stand in opposition to the gospel truth. God turns our truths upside down, you see. Jesus tells us to kick the dust off of our sandals so that we might be more fully human, so we can live more fully in the perfect image of God. We are called as we are to be disciples. Now, in all your imperfections, how is it that God might be calling you to bear witness to the truth? And what is it that keeps you from responding to that inner nudging? A lack of confidence? A fear of failure? A fear of not knowing? A fear of being imperfect? The world cannot wait for the truth any longer. My brothers and sisters, the measure of our success does not come from numbers or results, but rather from the discernment and faithfulness to God's call. Allow yourself the permission to be imperfect. Whatever that looks like, allow yourself to embrace your imperfection so that you might live life more fully.